The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
You live and direct from my subterranean lair. My name is Ra, and I'm here to awaken the dormant particles that are spiraling inside your DNA. So come with me as we go further down the mystical spiral of life. It's Spiral Radio, where each and every week we bring you the best in paranormal discussions this side of the Kuiper Belt. We're unveiling the different shades of you and the different shades of me until we are all vibrating the same frequency. My guest tonight is the amazing Sarah Adams. It's our 33rd episode, and I want to thank Sarge, my producer, for having a great 33, and maybe we'll have another great 33. It's a waxing crescent moon. It's going from Taurus over to Gemini, and my sign is emotional cancer, and my soulmate is in the Taurus sign. And my guest tonight, Sarah Adams, she makes healing gemstone jewelry. You can find her on Facebook. She's an experiencer, contactee. She's a researcher. She's a dedicated metaphysical worker, and she's here to share her esoteric life and experiences that she's had. And I want to welcome to Spiral Radio, themysticalspiral.com, Sarah Adams. Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you for having me on. And that's an amazing intro, by the way.
bring the heat. it's a stormy, rainy night over here. How is it over there tonight, over there?
It's hot. The sun hasn't went down yet, and it's been a very hot day today.
It's been storming here for like 2 days, just pouring rain. But we got a nice full chat room tonight, and you know, I don't know if you've ever been on the Para-X Radio Network, but I figured it would be a good way to introduce you to a whole new platform of people that would really be interested in hearing your work and your interesting life, Sarah. And there's been many people that have contacted me. I've gotten maybe 24 emails, maybe like 18 or 20 emails, people looking forward to hearing you tonight. And I would really like to just get right into it, because an hour is going to go really fast. And first, I would like to say to it would be a good intro into introducing who you are, is how, this planet, just Gaia in general, this Gaia is where life is manifested like magic, and in this current solar system that we're in. I believe Gaia is like the experiment planet. You know, this massive, like Barbara Marston
says,
Massive reading library, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. The arc. It would be the arc. It holds the different energies and different DNAs from the rest of the planets. I think I've explained this a bit on some of my blogs and other sort of shows I've been on, that how there were wars that broke out among the planets, and Gaia or Earth was the arc planet. It held a lot of things, sort of like a back, you know, when for a computer, a backup drive. So that's what Gaia is. And it's definitely very, very important. And the crown jewel of our system, star system.
I agree. And I think that, you know, it's kind of a massive, it's like its own God, its own consciousness. And it's like, I think that right now is one of the most critical times in Gaia's history for like our humanity, you know, and Gaia.
Go ahead. Anything that flowing life, light energy flows through is connected to God or God's source, or a very, very divine force that I call God. Anything that has that flowing through it, and Earth, despite all of the, you know, the torment it's went through, and it does feel, Earth feels on every single level, you know, she's alive, she's a living being, and she feels when she's, you know, hurt, when there are a well spills, when there's just all of this, you know, even starving people, stuff like that. She feels all of these things, you know. Despite all of that, she's quite a warrior because she's holding on, and there is still a lot of very beautiful life force that streams through her. She's definitely battling on for humanity, you know, as a mother, you know, hoping that her children will someday acknowledge her. That's how Gaia is. She's a quite caring mother, and she's hoping that humanity will wake up to that and will start to, you know, take her care of her as much as she takes care of them.
Yeah. And you know what? I truly believe, because Gaia is a mother and has that, I believe the prime creator basically is the universal consciousness, like you say, God. But because it's a mother, it's a female vibration of birth and beginnings. And basically, like, the feminine goddess energy is the source, and the male god energy is how the source is used. And, you know, mm-hmm. the male vibration, I think at one time, you know, cherished and loved the feminine principles, but they started to compete for Gaia's love, and for meaning the woman's love on Earth. And it became corrupted, and it branches off with, you know, the bad misuse of millions of years of bad energy. And even like these, like, tales of two suns warring. Even the Pleiadians have a tale of two suns that had fought over Earth, and they took over Earth, and they created, you know, this massive mess with Earth. And it's like, and it's similar to almost like the Battle of Enki and Enlil. I mean, it's like somehow along the way that goddess energy got lost, and people stopped worshiping the goddess and went over to the masculine god, you know. And I think it's time to reawaken a goddess energy within all of us.
The thing is that, interestingly enough, the sort of everything is a reflection. And you think about relationships today, most men don't respect women. Women don't know how to act towards men. And most women are just, you know, they're seen as sex objects. They're not, you know, I was, even in the media, it's really sad to watch this go on. And women are not exploited for their intelligence, or they're not uplifted for their intelligence, for their, you know, for that they have very deep intuition, that they have very deep emotions. It's, you know, it's all about sort of sex, objectifying women as sex objects, which is very bestial or lower dimensional in a way.
Yeah.
we're not acknowledging what we should in society. We're not acknowledging the divine female and the divine male how we should on any level. And this is causing an issue. This is causing a disconnect, even in relationships on every single level. It's causing a disconnect with our planet. It's causing a disconnect with the dimensions because nobody's balanced out. Everybody sort of sees each other in an exploitive way, specifically sex or money, while money also going to the lower chakra. So there's a huge issue there. As for God, you know, just recently they found some scrolls where it explained that God was both a female and male force. And these scrolls are, you know, they're authentic scrolls. And nobody's really wanting to acknowledge them because this would create a huge issue in a lot of religions. However, it does explain that God is a balance between a male and female force. It's the perfect balance. We have, all of us have male and female within us, energies. Yeah. And most people are not balanced out at all. I think when it said that the angels, you know, that they were neither nor, that it meant this, that they had both energies balanced out within themselves. They were not leaning on one side, male or on female. They had it equally balanced.
Yeah, well, this, you know, this is why I call this and why I had you on Fallen Angel Friday. And that's what tonight is. I usually pick one. Sometimes I skip a month, but like I usually pick one day out of the month, usually the last day of the month, the last Friday of the month, where it's Fallen Angel Friday, where, you know, we discuss things like this and Gaia and the fallen angels, how basically, you know, this is what I truly think, that since 1987, I think, Sarah, a massive shift happened. Began to happen on our planet, like a consciousness started to come, an awareness. And coincidentally, that's when I had like a near-death experience when I was 9 years old in 1987 too. But like I think that like at that time in 1987, this shift came, and star children, indigo children, crystal children, all these star child beings started to come more here onto this planet. And you know, whatever you want to label them or give them names, but they have been coming for a long time, I think, but more so since 1987. And I think in 2012, it was like this, the shift finished, and now a new Earth is like emerging and rising since then. And it's like a whole different transitional shift of this new Earth coming. And it's like, you know, a new awakening. And I think that, like I was saying, that Gaia is at the most important time for our humanity now, and we're making like we're fulfilling our soul contract agreements that we've made maybe thousands of years ago in Atlantis or places like that. And it's time to spiritually evolve and raise Gaia's spiritual evolution process while doing that. And that's what leads to Fallen Angel Friday, because I think that's where the problem lies, is in our spiritual evolution and how that when we were created with this divine spark, and if you want to call them the Draco or the Anunnaki or whoever these beings came that manipulated our genes and who made us to who we are and found that we had this divine spark in us, I think that they then created these astral thought form tulpa guardians to watch over our divine spark. And then they started to mess with us and intermingle with us, and it corrupted us. And that's where all these legends of the fallen angels and all this stuff and happened. And that's where the process, I think, started, that they don't want us to ascend to a higher vibration. So they're keeping us and our consciousness locked down, and they're stopping our spiritual evolution. And I think that's where the problem lies and why Fallen Angel Friday is essential.
I really like the movie The Dark Crystal, you know, because it has a beautiful ending from what I remember, honestly. First of all, I am very adamant at telling people, you know, I keep a lot to myself, but there I do allow sometimes, you know, some information out about myself, because people do tell me, well, you know, you are very, very different. Why are you so different? So I do have to try to explain that in you know, in a way that they can understand. So I do remember living on Atlantis. I remember many in Atlantis and many, many things. From what I understand is that some war broke out a long time ago, and humanity was, you know, they were sort of like seedlings. They were very young, and they were a new species. Now, when this war broke out, some of the races that had warred, they came and intermixed with humanity because they were going to die off so that their lines would still be here, so that they could have bodies in the 3D. And also the fact that in the end, for everything to come back together, they would need to carry their line out here. So this is one of the things that I had. This is one of the things I have been trying to explain. A lot of information is held within DNA. So it was also important to keep it in 3D on a DNA level. As for all of this, in the end, I think that there will be mass healing and major healing. If this is a thing, I know a lot of horrible, dark things have happened to humanity. And I don't think anybody really is, everybody's guilty in a way of doing their part in all of this. Everybody is. So what I think of this is that we need to start finding solutions rather than pointing fingers all around. We understand there's such things as negative beings, negative ETs, which I like to say when it comes down to angels, aliens, deities, they're pretty much, for me, the same. They're just different names giving to the same thing a lot of times. Even fairies, fae, elves, yeah. Lots of times all referring to the same thing. Yeah. So it's evident there was a very advanced interdimensional civilization. We have the remains of this all around the world. We even find remains of these things on Mars as the face of Mars and things like that. So there's a huge amount of evidence that there were past civilizations that somehow were far more highly advanced than ours. And the remnants of these civilizations eventually made up Egypt and some other civilizations and kept some of that knowledge. These beings were very powerful. They were interdimensional. They, you know, look at the pyramids of Giza. You know, the stones were stones that could not be lifted by any sort of force, even with animals or whatever the technology they quote had back then, you know, that was supposedly primitive.
Yeah.
It doesn't explain this. So what it also comes down to it is, guess what? This something very wrong happened with these beings. Something very wrong happened with them, because there's the remnants all around the world, and there's the remnants even we're finding on other planets. But where have they gone? What happened to create that? What happened to wipe all of that out? This is where the wars come into, where I speak about the wars because I remember them. So
that's weird,
the wars,
I'm always
happened.
Talking about the Orion Wars too. Whenever I'm a guest I talk about the Orion Wars, and I thought I was the only one that are talking about these astral wars and these Orion Wars going on. I like that you've brought it up.
Thank you. So there is the fact that this happened. So where did such a great race go to? Where are they at? This is the thing. Obviously, they could access dimensions. If you research a lot of things, you'll find that out. You'll find out that look at King Tut's knife. Isn't it meteorite or something like that? So
I think the scarab, too, that he had on his chest was made of some kind of glass that was made in some nuclear explosion or some kind of, you know, meteorite or something.
Nuclear back then. You know, they found some remnants of what seemed to be nuclear in the desert. So all of this stuff existed. There was civilization. There was beings that were far more highly advanced than humanity. Now, the thing is, as a war broke out, something happened. And this is where I have a lot of memory, but then I have a blotch, you know, sort of black spot of some of the memory.
Wow.
Now, a war broke out, and they, for survival, did mix with humanity. So when it says that they came down and mixed with humanity, they mixed their genetics in humanity. Part of it was for survival.
I agree. And, you know that I get this feeling, too, that and I mentioned it to you earlier, that like a strong like time jumper, you know, vibe, where somehow there are these like time jumper beings where they go into time to try to like change history, but not every slice of time is available to them. You know, it's like, you know.
Well, there's always, what happens is that there's per se 100 timelines. When a timeline is chosen out, when a timeline is chosen out, per se, there's 100 timelines, which there's far more than 100. But let's say 80 timelines are, this is how timelines are chosen by the higher ups for humanity, per se, that, you know. And it's funny because the movie, the Adjustment Bureau sort of explains that very nicely. Okay, so let's say that there's 80 timelines that are good out of 100. They're going to choose one of those 80 timelines that are good. Now, the other timelines, it's calculated that those probably won't play into effect, since there's way more far timelines. So when the wars happened, that's how they were playing it. They were playing timelines. And there was so many timelines of good, they never sort of saw it coming a long time ago. So that was a sort of a glitch in the system. Now, yeah. with the higher ups, they're always going to choose the best timelines out as much as they can. But there's always a chance that the remaining negative timelines do somehow play into effect somehow. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I understand what you're saying. And like, well, what I feel is that, what I was meaning by time jumpers, I feel like they're like these beings that, like, from these wars that broke out, that they
can jump.
Yeah, and but they
jump across time.
But yeah, but their view of the world is not linear like us. They're like, if a linear being like
time doesn't exist for them.
Yeah, like circuits would be blown if they experienced time jumping. Like, these are different linear beings than us. These time jumpers, like, they try to go back to change history. But, you know, they
exactly. So imagine living a day where you're living in more than one timeline, living out more than one life, and also being in other dimensions.
Yeah, no, I understand. But, you know, I think that it's like, I'm trying to say, like,
It would be impossible to be killed then, because if they were killed in one timeline, they would be in so many timelines. They would have put their energy in so many timelines, they could never truly be killed. They'd be immortal, if that's what you're trying to get at.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to get at that they're somehow like a different kind of species, like with a multidimensional view of the world, different than us, you know, and like that there's like a programmed mission that they're on. And I think that, you know,
it would probably be to stop the world going into nuclear, like happened with the previous civilization that I was speaking about.
Yeah, I think that this Earth is really billions of years old, and that civilizations that have been here from the very beginning and were very ancient with technology, they experienced time from a different point of view than we do, and a perspective, and their time, mm-hmm. these time jumpers or whatever, they can move from like different sections of
time. Jump in and out of bodies. Yes.
Yeah,
and to jump.
Yeah. And that was, I think that's what was going on with ancient Egypt in these, like, exactly. with Goddess Hathor and these soul transfer technologies. And I think they were jumping from, you know, different timelines and different bodies. Mm-hmm. You know, and
so I can explain this very simply. Once, some years back, I got into a bit of trouble. I knew that my future self had already overcome that. So what I did is I flipped up myself. I merged my future self into myself and put myself then into my future self.
Whoa, what? Now my mind's blown. All right. Say that one more time.
So I was having a lot of trouble working on something. So what I did is I merged my future self, who had already overcome it and found the solution, into myself, myself into the future. Yes, but that also meant that when I would come to that point, I would have to revert back in a way.
That's interesting, Sarah. How did you do you think that you made a time jumping sort of situation?
I don't speak about those things. There's, like I said before the show, there are certain things that I refuse to speak about. Yes, purposely. A lot of things I just prefer to keep to myself. But I would say that when you have enough charge within your body, that anything is possible. The thing is that so many people are drained of charge. So it shut down a lot of their DNA. It's also shut down a lot of, it's basically their soul energy is drained. The more you have soul energy, the more you're able to do all sorts of things.
I truly believe that. And I truly believe that we're thousands of times more powerful than anybody understands. And I truly believe that.
Go ahead. This is why they keep the world drained.
Yeah,
they
there's other
I feel spending their energy.
I feel there's ET races out there that we don't even realize that they're kind of scared of the power that we have lying dormant in us, you know, and that we have the amazing potential that we don't even realize. And we have like this mix of all these different DNAs that were picked up along the way, I feel, through these wars. And I feel that, you know,
it was no, remember what I said, it's the arc. So what do? For a hard drive, to back up your computer, you put everything on a little hard drive, right? Or something like that. Well, think about, that's what the planet Earth was for all of the rest of the planets and rest of the races that were there.
Yeah, no, I agree. And we got one question real quick for you, Sarah, in the chat room before we go to break, because we got 3 minutes to break. Sai in the chat room, he was asking, how do you get more soul energy?
I'll explain that when we come back. It's a very good question. That's what I was about to explain.
All right, cool. So we got like 2 minutes for break. So everybody, we are with the one and only Sarah Adams. And you can find Sarah on Facebook. She's making her own healing gemstone jewelry as well. And, you know, if she's done interviews for a long time now. I know she took a little hiatus for a while. But you can find her on YouTube as well. And definitely check her out on Facebook. Also, you can find me, like always, Ra, on themysticalspiral.com. And I'm on YouTube. I put up daily videos at Exploring the Ka with host Ra Castaldo. And, you know, I feel too, Sarah, that when we get back from break, there's a few things that I wanted to bring up. First of all, we'll answer Sai's question, and we'll get more into the soul energy and how you can get more soul energy. And I also wanted to touch on, you know, that indigo children and how I feel that they might even be being cloned, and some information that I've been pulling in, and what your response to that might be. And also, if we got time to go back into that, the whole Goddess Hathor, and that I feel that they were working with some kind of soul transfer technology in ancient Egypt. And I even have a papyrus here from Egypt that almost explains it in the hieroglyphics, and I really feel that's what it's showing. And
you'd be immortal if you could move from one body to another perpetually, without time limiting you. Yes,
exactly. And I feel like that if somewhere, maybe even inside the Sphinx, is answers to all of this, is somewhere laying hidden somewhere around
just
Giza.
About the energy.
Yeah, I felt it. And so coming up, the song is called Nightmare Caviar by Analog Driver, and you can find them on Reverb Nation. and Spotify. Once again, I will say, Spiral out.
For making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
And we are back. My name is Ra, and I'm at themysticalspiral.com, and we are with the one and only Sarah Adams, and you can find her on Facebook. I'm about to post the link on in the chat room for everybody. And before we went to break, everybody was asking about how we can get more soul energy. And before I let Sarah answer that, I want to say to everybody that this is Fallen Angel Friday. And, you know, there's levels of, you know, just angels in general, I believe. And I believe that there are some real, you know, angels that just walk among us, and maybe like a mystic angel, and that you can notice the angel inside of people just by seeing, looking in their eyes and seeing compassion inside of them. And you know that they are this old mystic soul. And, you know, there's you know, the fallen angels, I believe, even though they might have been sort of evil in a way and really corrupted mankind in a sort of way, I believe that there were certain aspects that they left with us that benefited our mankind, and that we truly have an angel in all of us. And, you know, I would really like to hear how you would get more soul energy as well, Sarah. So do you have any recommendations for the chat room?
When I just what you were saying, I do think that a lot of that has been twisted. So hopefully in the future that will get fixed up, you know, and specifically the whole subject on angels. As for soul energy, everything that they call junk DNA within you is not junk DNA, first of all.
Yeah.
You're a cosmic antenna. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, you're a cosmic antenna. Yeah. And people are suppressed every day, whether it's through jobs that keep them stressed out, it's through all sorts of things. So their energy is harvested every single day. What this does is this keeps people functioning on a very low amount of energy. They don't know it. The more energy that they have, the more they become multidimensional, the more they're lit up. This is why Jesus says that you will do even greater things than I. And again, I was speaking not long ago with a friend and said, where are the people that are walking around and doing more greater works than Jesus? There's really not many of them walking around, you know? And if all of this quote religion thing was right, then we'd have a lot of people performing more works than quote Jesus himself, and the world would be a different place. So there's something wrong there. There's something wrong. And I was explaining how it's about energy. And the God gene, of course, I explained the God gene not long ago, and how Genesis, gene, Isis, God said, I am that I am, to have the I am gene lit up or the God gene lit up within yourself. And genes can turn on and off according to different things. This is a scientific fact, whether you can use food, you can use superfoods. That means crappy foods turn off certain genes and light up ones that'll give you cancer, stuff like that. So there's a lot of this is very extensive. I'm trying to stick it into this program.
Yeah, so no, I hear you.
I'm trying to run over the basics of this.
I like so your energy.
Thank you. Lots of chemtrails, lots of that have aluminum, heavy metals that are put in food and all sorts of products so that it goes and clogs your pores up, your cells up, which clogs you up because remember you're a conductor of energy, and the more that you're clogged, your system's clogged up, the less energy streams through it. And this is really good at keeping you a sheep in society. So to put more energy within your body, I suggest to do a couple of things. One, mucoid plaque detox. It's absolutely disgusting and it's absolutely worth it. Two, parasite detox. That should go along with the mucoid plaque detox and chelation therapy, because your cells are like little solar panels. Yes, your soul needs energy. To replenish your energy, you need to be eating live foods. That's why in society they feed you so many dead foods, because it gives you dead energy and blocks you off even more. Your little cells are solar panels, and they charge off of light energy. When you're giving them dead food, they're not charging. The heavy metals that get into your system then get into your cells. And what it does is, remember I said your cell is like a solar panel. It deflects light out like a mirror. It mirrors the light that would be entering your cells back out, so you're not charging. So you're not even charging on a cellular level.
Yeah, no, I believe that. I believe that, you know, our body are like biological computers. Even like our endocrine system, it helps evolve our DNA, and it can give you like these psychedelic like chemicals that can like transform you into new forms of intelligence and you know, and higher beliefs and learning. And, you know,
people,
I think that
people are prisoners in their own bodies, sadly.
Yeah, and there's definitely a prison.
They're at the mercy of society, and their literal soul energy is being used, because that's what lower beings like feeding off of, is the soul energy. So, you know, you really need to guard your soul energy. You need to guard that energy, and you need to build it up with a lot of stuff that has oxygen. I do a lot of chlorophyll, spirulina, H2, food grade hydrogen peroxide. You can do hyperbolic treatments. Lots of live foods, lots of detoxing of heavy metals, the mucoid plaque detox, chelation, because you need to get in parasites. Parasites are often connected. Literal physical parasites are the physical manifestation of energetic parasites, by the way, that are leaching off of. They literally leach your minerals out of your body, and your minerals have the light spectrum in them. They have light salt. This is why they strip salt of, they bleach salt. Salt originally has, unbleached salt has a lot of different minerals. Each mineral has light frequencies in it, and they bleach that, and they bleach all of those that out of it, and then they just give you basically a low form of salt, which blocks your system more. You're not getting light frequencies fed into your system. Minerals and light are light frequencies, literally. When you look at minerals, they emanate light. So a lot of these parasites are depleting you of minerals. Of course, most fast food is depleted in minerals. Yeah. Just so many.
And
so
I think that, you know, I think that when you give your body food like that and just food for your soul, that you're pulling that pillar of light you're talking about into your body, and it's like rearranging your DNA and genetic structure of who you are, and it will rearrange your endocrine system and your nervous system and all that, and then you'll start to desire their new food for your body from then on, and it like totally just changes your complete DNA structure. And your DNA starts to evolve. And I believe, you know, you're spot on by saying that.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
Oh, it does. And you start to light up. And I will tell you, you can read a book.
Yep. Little fibers of information start to reawaken. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. You could read a book. There's a lot of hidden knowledge in religious books, you know, in like the Bible and stuff like that. People don't realize this. They're reading it because somebody at low frequency or with low energy is going to, it's going to entrap them more. Somebody who changes their frequency and goes to higher frequencies, when they read it, they'll get a totally different thing. You can test this for yourself. You can go detox for a couple of months, build your energy up, and then go back and read the same book, and you will see difference. Because why do you think Neo walks through codes in the Matrix? Through, you know, he's decoding everything. He's getting past all these codes.
Agree,
so everything around us is codes.
Yeah.
Yes, so he has enough energy. He has the ability to go through the Matrix and decode all of this stuff. A lot of it in there is absolutely amazing, encoded in the Matrix, which one day hopefully I'll break it down. But yeah, everything is encoded around this. Yes, so when your DNA is lit up, you start picking up the codes of how to get out of this system, how to get past it, you know, how to hack it. Until then, you're not going to have the codes because you're just void of energy. You know, you're barely being able to survive.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I think we're only using like a few small, maybe 8% of our capabilities right now, if that.
Oh, God, yes. I saw that people in the world function no more than 20%. Out of 100%, people are not functioning past 20% of what they should be.
I agree. And not to change the topic, but the time's going to go real quick. We only got like 15 minutes left. I wanted to talk a little bit about this information that I've been pulling in and dreams that I've been having. First one, and I wanted to see how you can relate to this, because I know when I mentioned it before the show that you said that you pulled in some information about this as well from like the astral or the holographic, whatever you want to call it, the Akashic record or whatever kind of experience you had. But I have a feeling, and it happened when I was in meditation the other day. It came to me and I saw like I feel like these star children or these indigo children that have been coming onto our planet more since this 1987 to 2012 shift that came, and now that this new Earth is rising, I feel that there's some kind of cloning going on of these indigo children, and it's some kind of like
they're trying to crack their DNA codes. DNA is information, and this is the whole thing of why they cloned a lot of, or they quote brought back a lot of, you know, ancient stuff, and they have, it's going to come out that they have, they have, you know, even what you call the Egyptian gods or whatever, that they have found, you know, certain tombs and stuff, you know, and they always say, sometimes they say that the tomb was empty or so on. That's a good way of getting away with taking the body, but anyhow, or taking the mummy. And it's going to come out that they have cloned a lot of stuff. Interestingly enough, they're just trying to crack the code, and they're trying to hack the abilities. They're trying to hack. They want people who are gifted that can go into the dimensions, because that's where a lot of ancient technology is. That's where there's a lot of knowledge, and they want a hold of this, and they don't quite understand that it's a lot of it's quite divine, and they shouldn't be messing with it, because there is huge repercussions for messing with what's divine. That's why they're doing this sort of stuff. But in the end, I would think it's going to be okay. I did get the information, like, over a year ago. I was in England and I was walking, and I did see that they had the hybrid children in the end, even that the hybrid children in the end would definitely only listen to the divine in the end, that they were going to overcome any control of themselves. Sorry, any control put on them. They were going to do that themselves. They were going to overcome any negative influences put on them, because they do have the divine spark running through them. So that's the information that I did pick up.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, these star children in general, they tend to have a paradoxical personality, you know, and it's like they want to help, but yet they're very guarded and distant as well at the same time, and can seem cold to some, but in reality it's just because they're so
emotional
and feel lost. Yeah. And, you know, and
I was looking at the boy from Russia. He's so gifted, but he's got deep shields from all the wars that he went through. And you can tell in his eyes, he's such an old soul.
Yeah, he's got to be like 20 now, too. I haven't heard from him in a while.
Yes.
I
we were talking about that the other day, and Tosh.
Yeah, we talked about him on my last show, too. Frank Jacob, the guy who makes he made some film Packing for Mars. And we had him on. He mentioned, I forget the kid's name now. Rishka, I forget what his name is. I forget his name. But yeah, he was talking about how he's like, he's basically like an indigo child, and he had a remembrance of Mars. I've heard some stuff about him from talking, and I
remember the Mars Wars very well. And when I saw him, I literally recognized him, and you know, I could see that he's such a very old soul, but also it was shattering for him to go through that. And there are a lot of children who have returned, who've went through a lot, you know, and they are choosing. Their souls are very, very beautiful, and they just want to bring back, you know, higher energies, but they do. Some of them have went through a lot to be able to hold that. They've been killed in certain lives. They've went through so much. So it's very important to connect to the children, because the children are the future of everything. And, you know, even energetic healing and better diets for your children. If you have any children, I plead with you to give them better, higher frequency diets, so that they're going to grow up into masterminds of good that will change this world on every single level. If we just start feeding our children high vibrational foods, you know, start using energy to heal them, start teaching them empathy and compassion on every single level, it would definitely change the world. And a lot of these children now incarnate, and they came from a long time ago, you know, from when there were the wars on Mars and stuff like that. And they really need that. They need to understand that they didn't go through all of that for nothing, that they're definitely our future here on Earth. They're definitely our future.
Yeah. And I wanted to share with you, and it'll lead us to this last 10 minutes. What I wanted to share with you and we could discuss is, I had a vision about that involved you afterwards as well. And first, it happened to me a couple of times where I woke up from this cold sweat, and what I saw was this crystal-like fortress and crystal pyramids, and they were like crystal and digital, because all these digital-like hieroglyphics were lighting up and going along the crystals and moving like water, and there was these digital waters in front, right? But then there were these massive giants in the crystal caverns, like stored there, and they had these this headset on that looks like Princess Leia's ears. Like, with, you know how Princess Leia has the hair over her ears? They had these massive devices over their ears that looked like that, and they looked like they were mechanical and can spin. And it looked like they were reawakening, maybe, and maybe cloning. And it gave me this, like, feeling of fear, like that, like, unbridled fear, like that they were awakening and they'd been sleeping for a long time. And then, like, not too long after that, I had so maybe I was feeling like that was inner Earth, maybe Agartha. And so, wow. And I have this, like, the Orgone powered pyramid running next to me, and it's like giving me these vibes, and it's like everything's like, oh, wow. So I got this vision of the goddess Diana, and she was like 50 feet tall, huge, and she was looking down on me, and it was almost like it was a hologram. And I felt really inferior for a second in the dream, I remember feeling. And like, she told me to spread wings over you, that you really need it. And when I woke up, I wrote it down, and then I told you on Facebook a couple of days later, and you were like, wow, you know, I really have a connection to her. So
yes, she's definitely very fierce and protected me. Her and Artemis seem to be very fierce in protecting me. It goes from a long time ago. I really liked Princess Diana, because I do know that she held some of her energies. She had brought that a bit to Earth.
That's intense. You know, my family from Italy is from the Lake Nemi area, and this is Lake Nemi is an old volcanic crater that's called the Diana's Mirror. Because, you know, and we've been protecting ancient secrets regarding the lake. And the goddess Diana goes way back in my family. And I really believe that ancient Egypt is tied in with her as well, that she is truly like Isis and even Hathor before. You know, Hathor is like the star goddess, or, you know, the moon goddess. And she was even known to be like the Milky Way, you know, and... You know, they and I feel like, you know, I've had dreams and feelings my whole life of like this transfer of souls in ancient Egypt. And somehow it may have involved these pyramids as well, that what there was some kind of technology.
The beginning of X-Men starts out, the new one, Apocalypse starts out there with them soul transferring from one body to another body. That's the beginning of the movie. I know, because one of my friends said to me, oh, you know, you talk about this stuff, and they sent it to me. And I said, well, X-Men, the X gene, it's encoded for X-Men, the ones who have the God gene lit up. That's why they're considered mutants, that the United States government is, you know, observing all of those around the world whose genetics have mutated to give them different abilities. So X-Men is just really quite interesting, because it's a reflection of a lot of things going on that are real. Yeah. You have to remember that originally the cross was an X. It was not a T, the T shape. And the cross represents the Christ or the Christic DNA, or the Christ DNA, or God gene within inside of you that's lit up, can be lit up, or for those who have it lit up. So it's very interesting that they called it X-Men.
Yeah, that is interesting. Yeah, and it's the whole idea of like that chair that Professor X sits on. It's like almost like a Montauk chair type device too. It's pretty crazy, man. It's crazy.
And he does. It's quite interesting. You know, there's a nice little verse in the Bible that says that the devil must. I think it says something like the devil or something must always tell you the truth. Well, you are being told the truth. A lot of it's within movies, because it's basically also a good laugh for the negative ones, because they show these things to people. People are so asleep they don't know what's happening, but it's a nice karmic pass off in a way, saying, oh, hey, it was sitting in front of you the whole time. It's almost like in The Devil's Advocate, where at a certain part, he's like, how did I get myself into this? And he goes, and the devil's there. And he's like, basically like, well, look, all along, you know, I was telling you, you just wouldn't believe. He was telling him all along what was going on.
Yep.
Yes.
It's true. And there's like that, there's like an old, I don't know if it's, what's the name of that old show? It's like black and white, where it's Twilight Zone, the Twilight Zone. There's like an episode of the Twilight Zone where they have like the devil, these monks have like the devil locked up in a cell in their in like a cottage in the woods somewhere. And this guy shows up because his car was like stranded and he's been walking in the rain. And the guy shows up and he can hear like this guy howling in the back, almost like,
because it's so symbolic. A cell. Remember what I was talking about? We should definitely do another show about just this. The cells. You're made up of cells. He's locked up in a cell. And
yeah, cube. Cube. A prison. Yep. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And he's howling because that's the whole bestial or lower. Lower chakra, lower consciousness. So it's all very symbolic, a lot of this stuff. They know exactly what they're telling you. You know, as for the battle between the sons of light and sons of darkness, the other day I sat up from a very lovely non-sleep, because
we got one
I rarely
minute
ever
too.
Do sleep. I get out of my body a lot.
We got one minute. Yeah, we got one
and I
minute,
was shown
Sarah,
that on a cellular level, the sons of light are the people who are charged with their cells are charged, and the people who are the sons of darkness, they're on a cellular level, their cells are basically like black holes and absorb energy. So this would explain a lot of the energy vampires and stuff like that. So there's a war between those trying to bring higher consciousness and those who are on the lower bestial consciousness, which is basically eat and, you know, to preserve oneself and not about any of the higher consciousness stuff.
I agree. And we'll have you back on, Sarah. This has been a great
show. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Definitely. We'll book you again. And
you have a lovely evening.
Yeah, you too.
Bye-bye.
This has been... Take care. Guys, this has been Spiral Radio. We're at themysticalspiral.com. You can find us there. And once again, I say, Spiral out.
I want to hold you in.